are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, October the 14th, and Stan Van Gundy resurfacing on the rumor mill. This is your boy Matt Schiff, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Maybe I'm a little bit energized about the offseason now that it's actually a true offseason. We've got a little bit less than 5 weeks to the NBA draft on November 18th. Election Day coming up as well. A lot of exciting stuff happening despite the fact that we're losing maybe some of our good weather here in the Great Lakes State. But today on the show, Stan Van Gundy may have found a new landing spot. We'll tell you all about that and the coaching carousel. Also, two stories from Sam Vecenie of The Athletic caught my eye recently. We will do our favorite thing and just read verbatim stories from The Athletic. No, we don't actually do that, but we do sometimes aggregate some of that stuff, and I know that maybe The Athletic doesn't love that, given that it's a pay model, but that's what we do here. And also, Brian is back with a draft profile. Today, we have a sharpshooter who is tied for 11th on the Locked On Pistons listener Big Board. We'll tell you all about him. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Schuch. But the rumor mill is flying high right now in the coaching carousel now that the NBA season ended on Sunday night. It started on Monday with Ty Lue's candidacy with the Rockets, reported by Woj, gaining significant momentum, apparently. And, of course, we already knew he was a big-time candidate for the Los Angeles Clippers to move over one seat and replace Doc Rivers there. Doc Rivers already in Philly on a 5-year deal there. But some interesting stuff happening on Tuesday for the Van Gundy brothers. Jeff Van Gundy could be back from the dead. He is a candidate for both the Houston and LA Clippers jobs as well. So you can see a world where Ty Lue ends up with one of those jobs, and maybe Jeff Van Gundy with the other. But the latest news, maybe more of a surprise, was that Stan Van Gundy, the former Pistons head coach, is one of four finalists for the New Orleans Pelicans job. So what do we think about Stan Van Gundy returning to the NBA? Makes a lot of sense for me. Been out for 2 years. I thought he might be out for 1 year and then return to the sidelines. He's a guy with a good name that wasn't quite sullied by the Detroit Pistons organization, like maybe some other coaches out there have been. Mike D'Antoni's out there as well. He might be the one kind of without a job as the musical chairs spin out there in the coaching carousel. You got Houston out there still. You got the Clippers, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Indiana Pacers. And don't forget about the Oklahoma City Thunder still low-key out there as well. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reporting that Pelicans assistant Chris Finch is the favorite to take the Indiana Pacers job. That is kind of out of nowhere, and that would be a little bit on brand for Indiana. All these big-time coaches with credentials out there, and they're going to look at Chris Finch. Maybe not Sid Finch, but close to it. The Pelicans assistant ending up possibly in Indiana. Nate McMillan's out there, the former Indiana coach. Chauncey Billups' name has been thrown around for Indiana and possibly with other positions as well. Mike Brown is there, the former NBA champion, I believe. No, I don't think he won a championship. But he took the Cavs to the finals with LeBron. But who hasn't taken LeBron to the finals? I think I coached him to the finals 1 year as well. Dave Yeager's been interviewing, I believe, in Indiana. And so, yeah, hashtag this league, starting off the postseason, or the offseason, I should say, already. Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, the younger one, 4 seasons in Detroit. Of course, he wasn't just the coach. He was the president and ran the show for the front office and the personnel decisions for Tom Gores as well. We didn't know it at the time. I mean, it's the only way you can get a Stan Van Gundy for the Pistons when they were at rock bottom back then after the ownership change and everything that had happened in the coaching ranks since Flip Saunders, really, that they had to shell out a lot of years a lot of money and a lot of responsibility and leverage and everything that you could possibly want if you were Stan Van Gundy. You were given that, all the control in the front office, and he had that, and obviously it didn't really work out for here in Detroit. Did have some success here, as we know. 2016, a 44-win team, reached the NBA playoffs, but then were unceremoniously swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. And a couple years later, after one misstep in the Blake Griffin trade, he was out the door, and it was Dwayne Casey, who's now been here for 2 years, one pretty good one and one pretty dreadful one as coach of the Detroit Pistons. But Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans, what do you think about that? I've got mixed emotions about it. Stan is not known as a guy who develops the young players, but Zion Williamson is not your typical young player. This is a team that should probably make the playoffs next season. This is a guy in Zion Williamson who could use maybe the more preachy, the more disciplined manner of Stan Van Gundy. Who knows how certain players are going to react to being called out constantly by Stan Van Gundy. It's part of his charm. It's part of why we liked him as a fan base at times. But you can see how that would be grating. It would be a tough guy to play for. And he's a big personality. He's the smallest guy in the room, but he's got one of the biggest personalities in the room. Of course, his liberal politics have probably endeared himself to the players as he's become more of a spokesperson for left-wing movements and not being afraid to tweet about those kind of things. So, again, I think his popularity increases with NBA fans and probably NBA players as well. I don't think that's a huge thing for him in either direction because he's always kind of been like that anyway, outspoken, even before the Twitter account was flying and Stan Van Gundy became the woke capital of social media, the king of wokeness, so to speak. And I don't say that to make fun. I'm on the correct side of history as well, along with our boy Stan Van Gundy. But and nice to see that even after leaving the Pistons, he was still stayed up in Clarkston on the lake there. You always heard stories about people running into him and just how much of a regular guy he was, whether it was the veterinary's office. I've heard that the story from a friend of mine who's a vet up there, and just all those kind of things that I'm sure you've heard of if you live here in Southeast Michigan as well. Nice. As Michiganders, we're always very happy when people take to our home state and even stay there longer, even more than they have to. And Stan Van Gundy was certainly that, but it sounds like his days as a free agent on the coaching carousel may be numbered. Maybe it's New Orleans, maybe it's somewhere else, or maybe he's back in the mic. He obviously did a great job as a color commentator during the playoffs and with TNT. And that is a role that I would certainly like to see him continue if he's not coaching. But good luck to Stan and good luck to however that situation ends up for his career. But certainly we expect him to be on the sidelines, if not this next season, soon for sure. But another guy who's going to be playing coming up soon is Aaron Nesmith. We got his draft profile from Brian coming. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, love to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar that is out there. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious. You got the 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp as well. They got the nut and the non-nut flavors if you need to take care of those dietary restrictions as well. Add those 6 ones to the 12 OG flavors. Get yourself a variety box and enjoy a different one all the time, or find the one that you truly love. Love at first bite and go ahead and get yourself a box of those. You can't go wrong either way. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. The macros that you want, great for the keto diet, great for the low-carb, not going to screw you up, not going to get that belly any bigger. In fact, keto diet is like the one thing that has worked for me in the past, I'll say, 20 years that has actually made me lose a little bit of the belly fat. Sometimes you can go on a little workout binge like we all do. Sometimes you do a month. Maybe you do 3 or 4 months. Maybe you get yourself into pretty good shape. But I wasn't able to really lose the big fat beer gut. When I went on the keto diet, did it for a good year or so, and then slowed down to a little bit more low carb, which I'm at now, I would say that the belly fat has actually gone down a little bit. So I can be the testimony to tell you that it does work. It's like the one thing that's ever worked, and Built Bars can be part of that equation. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Probably a little bit more than you wanted to know about that, but go ahead and use that promo code to get 20% off your next order. You're welcome, Built Bar. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top seven draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of the 18 players that you voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We have decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at a prospect tied for 11th on the list, Aaron Nesmith, a 20-year-old, 6'6", 213-pound forward. Growing up in Charleston, South Carolina, Nesmith would attend the Porter God School from 5th grade all the way through high school, first making the school's varsity team while in 8th grade. In his sophomore season at Porter God, Nesmith won the South Carolina Independent School Association Class 3A title, something his team would do three times in each of Nesmith's last three seasons. As a senior, he would average over 21 points and over 4 rebounds on his way to being named the South Carolina Gatorade Player of the Year for achievements on the court and in the classroom. Nesmith would be named the SCISA Class 3A Player of the Year in each of his last three seasons. Nesmith didn't receive a lot of recruiting buzz before his senior year, but after an impressive AAU tournament in Charlotte, ESPN and 24/7 Sports both named him a four-star recruit. Aaron would choose to attend Vanderbilt University to play for Coach Bryce Drew in Nashville. His freshman year with the Commodores saw him start 19 games and average double digits in points and grab over 5 rebounds a night in less than 30 minutes per game. The team was historically bad and led to Coach Drew's departure as he was replaced by former Piston Jerry Stackhouse. Under Stackhouse, Nesmith saw a vast improvement with his game in the start of the season, averaging 23 points and almost 5 boards while scoring 7 or more threes 4 times in his 14 games that season. He also saw his percentage from college three improve from 34% to 52% over his 2 years. After an injury against Auburn to his foot, Nesmith wouldn't play for the rest of the year. He was on pace to have one of the best three-point shooting seasons ever before the injury. Nesmith tells ESPN's Mike Schmitz about why he felt he was able to get so much better between his freshman and sophomore seasons.
The reason behind I had such a big jump in my development was just pretty much this summer, not having a strict workout plan. You know, my previous coach being let go, it gave me a lot of free time to just go into the gym on my own. So, it's pretty much as soon as the season ended my freshman year, took 3 to 4 days off, and then I got right back to work. I come in the morning, 6 a.m., and come back and do the same thing in the night. So I started doing 2-a-days pretty much every day in the summer. And, you know, I made an agenda for everything I wanted to work on in that day, made sure I hit my marks, made sure I did it to the best of my ability, and just took it one day at a time.
Nesmith is a classic 3-and-D guy with an emphasis on the 3, and because of his size, he is able to guard multiple positions on the court. Nesmith won't dribble around anyone, but has a good handle on one-to-do dribble pull-ups. If asked to handle the ball too much, it usually doesn't go well. He has a fluid shot from standing and also can achieve separation with a nice step-back move and pump fakes. While his shooting is off the charts and he has a quick release at the top, there is room to shave some extraneous movement and time when loading up. If that is corrected, that could make him an even quicker and deadlier shooter. On defense, Nesmith has good positional ability, and while not overly quick, he does possess good enough footwork to stay in front of guys most of the time and can anticipate and disrupt passing lanes in an above average fashion. He does at times get caught flat-footed, and quicker guards who recognize those moments are able to drive past him without too much problem, something that could become more pronounced in the NBA if not addressed. Most mock drafts seem to have Nesmith going in the later parts of the lottery, even slipping out of it in some. I believe while his motor is high, his lack of quickness and athleticism will mean there will be more dynamic and complete players available to the Pistons at number 7. If they should decide to trade down, it might be because they have the soon-to-be 21-year-old on their radar. Some good NBA comparisons for Nesmith are current Piston Tony Snell and Harrison Barnes. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us on the next installment when we will look at point guard Kira Lewis Jr.
And I know Brian is salivating to tell you guys about Kira Lewis Jr. That's kind of the one he's adopted so far. as his son, actually. So congratulations to them. But I will say about Kira Lewis coming up as the next draft profile that we're going to do, also tied with Neesmith at number 11. By the other way, Kurt is correct. Neesmith, not Naismith or whatever you want to call him. Neesmith, pretty easy to remember. Kira Lewis might be the first prospect that Brian's going to do the profile of that if the Pistons took him at 7, I wouldn't fall out of my chair. I'm not saying that's who I would take at 7, and I'm not saying that the Cole Anthonys or Aaron Neesmiths of the world won't be fine players, that I don't want them to necessarily be Pistons. It's just at number 7, Kira Lewis, tied for 11th on the top big board that the Locked On Pistons listeners did, it would be not the craziest thing in the world. So from here on out, we're talking about guys that there's a world where the Pistons take them at number 7. I don't necessarily think that there's a world where Aaron Neesmith gets picked at 7 or Cole Anthony, or else Troy Weaver is putting both hands on the wheel and it's Troy Weaver take the wheel at that point. But again, a lot to like about Aaron Neesmith, dynamic scorer in his second year at Vanderbilt. We'll talk more about him on Fridays with Brian coming up later this week, but the 14 games is the thing that I can't get past. 52% from three, of course, is great. It's otherworldly, but you wonder if this guy's striking while the iron's hot. 14 games is not a great sample size. I wonder what the shooting was, you know, as a prospect leading up to his college career, which was brief. Obviously, freshman year, he wasn't shooting the lights out. So if a guy goes out and shoots well for 14 games, that's great. But you'd love to see more. Kind of reminded me of another Vanderbilt prospect that had injury issues and didn't really have a full resume going before that. And that's Darius Garland, who's been linked to the Pistons a little bit on Reddit threads. I don't know if there was anything real about that. But Darius Garland to the Pistons. And Boogie Cousins to the Pistons, too. I know you guys are talking about that. Maybe we'll expound on that as we get bored throughout this offseason. But, you know, we don't. Just because there's some kind of little bit of rumor out there, we like to throw a little bit more sourcing and reports on it. But, hey, sometimes it's fun to talk in hypotheticals about guys like Boogie Cousins joining the Pistons. I wouldn't mind that on a show-me type of deal. Might be kind of certainly would be fun and could be a lucrative relationship for both sides of that. But we like to go with more sourced info, and that's what we've got coming up next is I'm going to tell you what Sam Vecenie is talking about in his latest mock draft and also a rising player that's moving up his board and sounds like some other draft boards around the draft world as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, it can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice that you want and the help that you need with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for AD, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is very simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. A couple of athletic wing type of players have moved up Sam Vecenie's big board of The Athletic. If you listen to this show, you know he's one of my more trusted sources for my NBA draft content. So worth pointing out an article last week that Sam Vecenie put out there about RJ Hampton of the New Zealand Breakers, the prep star who went over and played in the Australian Basketball League alongside, I guess, against LaMelo Ball, more accurately, and had a rough go of it over there. And up until a couple weeks ago, RJ Hampton was number 21 on Sam Vecenie's list, not really even thought of as a lottery pick by most people. But as Sam detailed in an article in The Athletic, Mike Miller, one of the best shooters in NBA history, has been working with RJ Hampton and has moved the jump shot to the point where he's loading up more in the center part of the jump shot as opposed to on the left side, and he's widening his base. He's got the feet nice and wide and getting himself more square to the hoop and
missing more short and long as opposed to wide, according to Mike Miller. And there's some videos surfacing that Sam has in the article as well. So some encouraging signs there. Sam Vecenie moved RJ Hampton all the way up to number 7 on his big board. So he goes LaMelo Ball, Wiseman, Edwards, Toppin, Onyeka Okongwu at 5, Isaac Okoro 6, and 7, RJ Hampton. Interesting of note, because Sam also has his mock draft that came out on Tuesday, and he has as follows: Timberwolves go with LaMelo Ball, Warriors go with James Wiseman. There appears to be some James Wiseman buzz over Anthony Edwards at this point. The more teams look at Anthony Edwards, the more they don't like, which kind of reads with what I've thought about as well. Charlotte Hornets do take Anthony Edwards at 3. Next up for Sam Vecenie with Denny Avdija at number 4 to the Bulls. Number 5, Obi Toppin to the Cavs. And number 6, the Atlanta Hawks take Tyrese Haliburton. So that leaves the Pistons with Killian Hayes on the board and Onyeka Okongwu on the board. So the prospect that most Pistons fans want in Killian Hayes and the prospect that I want in Onyeka Okongwu. Instead, Sam has the Pistons taking Isaac Okoro out of Auburn, a classic culture pick, putting your imprint on the franchise if you're Troy Weaver. Goes on to say, Okoro fits all the billings of a great athletic traits, great frames, and terrific background reports of hard work. Fits those billings to a T. Sam writes, he's one of the best athletes in this class at combining explosive athleticism and powerful strength. Defensively, he's terrific both on the ball and in help situations. He's known as an incredibly hard worker and a good kid who has a professional demeanor. He struggles to shoot it, but the Thunder have always undervalued shooting woes as well, thinking of them as fixable over time. Okoro makes a lot of sense, giving Weaver's past in OKC. There is also a thought that they like a similar prospect here in Patrick Williams out of Florida State, and this pick starts Williams' potential draft range. End quote there. So Patrick Williams, Isaac Okoro, RJ Hampton. I mean, RJ's more of a guard than a wing, but Okoro and Williams, you got wing players that are athletic that have maybe some potential as long as some offensive things get cleaned up and taken care of over the years. Now, I'm not falling out of my chair if they pick any of these guys, although Patrick Williams is a little bit of a reach at 7, though who knows what the real draft boards in NBA front offices look like at this point. Maybe there is a little bit of coy nature going on there. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. I get the culture fits. I think that these are more upside-y picks, right, than Okongwu, Hayes, and Haliburton. I like all three of those guys. I still have them, as we sit here right now, late on a Tuesday night, ahead of the Williams, Okoro, and Hamptons on my big board. But these types of things are going to make me take a second look at these guys. So do the wings, and we know the Pistons need wings. We know the Pistons probably could use a little bit more upside as long as there's a culture fit with what the Detroit Pistons should stand for as an organization, what a Troy Weaver team should stand for as well. I like these three guys. I like these three guys, Isaac Okoro, Patrick Williams, and RJ Hampton, with the upside, with the defensive acumen, and with improved and refined offensive skills that will have to be Dwayne Casey and his coaching staff going to work to make that happen. So they're appealing prospects to me. I like what I'm hearing, and Brian's going to tell you about Kira Lewis going forward as well here on the podcast. So a lot of interesting things going on here. We thought that we'd reach a point where maybe there was nothing to talk about a month before draft time, but I think some things might be moving in my head. They might be moving in the consensus as far as the experts, and maybe the teams are starting to throw some intel out there, maybe some of it good, some of it bad, as time goes on as well. So I'm interested to dig back into the draft with you guys and figure out what Brian thinks and figure out what we think here. And we can disagree as well. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, to your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys later.